Thank you very much. Can you hear me? It's good. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning. We thank you for your glorious presence in this place. We thank you for who you are. God, we're here because you're alive. We're here because you are the bread of life. God, we're here because you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, we're here because you are the King of Kings, and there's nothing better we can do outside of this, God. We're here to honor you alone. God, I pray that as we listen to your word, as we hear your word this morning, God, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to soften our hearts. Help us to open our hearts and receive your bread of life. And we pray in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Who is excited to hear the word of God? Yeah, last week has been an exciting one for all of us. You know, Chris and Casey's engagement. Congratulations to them. They're not here, but... And a new member to this church, Ben and Rach, had their second baby, Thomas. I told them it's the coolest name you could ever give a kid. Not because my name is Thomas. And I got to see my brother-in-law and my sister after 1 year. You know, the story of my family. You know, we were scattered all around the world. And we only get to see each other once in a couple of years, maybe once in every year, if that happens. So yeah, it's an exciting week for me. Not sure if this is a true story or not, but I heard this a few years ago. There was this church in the city of Oklahoma, United States. And in this church, a new pastor took charge. And the first few days, he went out, he met all the members of the church personally, and he encouraged them, he invited them to the following Sunday because it is his first service. And everybody was happy to, you know, meet him, and the following Sunday came along, the church was totally empty. There was nobody in the church. The pastor was very disappointed with this, and he decided to put a notice in the local newspaper. And it stated, and he stated, because the church was dead, it was the responsibility of the whole community. It was the responsibility of the whole members of the church to give the church a proper funeral. So people start to wonder what this guy is on about, you know. And the notice said, the following Sunday afternoon, the funeral will be held. So people got really curious. They thought he's out of his mind. And the next Sunday came along, the church was packed. The whole church just rocked up. And in front of the pulpit, there was this coffin, you know. And there was flowers all around it. And the lid was shut. And the pastor stood before the pulpit and he paid his tribute to the dead church. And after he did, he invited the whole congregation to come forward and pay their final respects, you know. And he opened the lid. One by one, they came forward, and they looked inside the coffin, and they got shocked, absolutely shocked by what they saw. Inside the coffin was a mirror. Inside the coffin was placed in perfect angle, so everyone could see their own faces. They all looked at the mirror, and they were shocked. But they went home happy because they got fed from the Word of God. That's what I do now, you know. I'm not sure if it's a true story, but I liked it because I look in the mirror every day now and I tell myself, I'm not dead. I'm alive in Christ. We're continuing in the series on Ready, Set, Grow. In the last few weeks, we heard some great messages from some great preachers on different ingredients of growth in Christ. And today I'm going to talk about being productive. What does the Bible teach us about being productive? What does Jesus expect us to do with what he has given us? As we heard from Uncle Jared, you know, we are a masterpiece of God. There are 7.4 billion people in this world as of today. 7.4 billion. And each of those 7.4 billion people are strikingly different. It's amazingly different. And each one of those people, of 7.4 billion people, have a unique DNA. They have a unique fingerprint. It's like God took time to draw each and every one of us. It's like God has a big art gallery and he draws a picture of each and every one of us. Imagine, you know, you're going for a walk with him and he explains, this is Howard. I drew him like this. I gave him this personality. I gave him this talent. This is Shane. He's my masterpiece. Each and every one of you guys sitting here are strikingly different. There's no two of you guys are the same. You know, as Ben was messaging everyone about his baby, new baby, Thomas, I was preparing the message and I thought, you know, looked at the photo and I thought, you know, what a masterpiece. What a masterpiece of God, you know. You know, it just blows my mind to think the word says, he knew before Thomas took shape inside his mother's womb. It blows my mind to think God knew about that kid before the foundations of the world. It blows my mind to think God thought about it, considered about it, and he even knew how he's going to look as a person. It makes me... I find it very fascinating thing, God even knew before the foundations of the world what talent he was going to put inside Thomas. We don't know what he has, but he has something amazing that we get to know one day. Today I'm going to talk about talents, and we're going to look into the parable of talents. David sings in Psalms 139, "You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I'll give thanks to you because you fearfully and wonderfully made me. And your works are miraculous and my soul is fully aware of it." David sings that. Jesus talks about the parable of talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. What's a parable? We see a lot of parables in the Bible. You know, it's not just bedtime stories that Jesus told the disciples before they went to bed, or it's not a story that Jesus told the crowd to entertain them. Each parable carries a lot of meaning. They are the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And if you look at the parable of talent, Jesus said the parable of talent just after he said he was talking about his second coming. He was talking about his second coming and he said, nobody knows the day or the hour of my return. So you better be prepared. And he then goes on to the parable of talents. It's the longest parable recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, so I'm not going to read out the whole parable. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. There's a lot of things Jesus is teaching us through these parables. In the parable of talents, Jesus is saying the property that he's talking about belongs to the master. It is not ours. It is God, the master, giving to us while he's away. He's going on a long journey and he wants us to do something about it. And the other important thing is each servant was given something. There was not a single servant that missed out. One servant was given five, another two, another one. Now, we all differ when it comes to our abilities. We all differ when it comes to our talents or the number of talents we have. But we're all the same when it comes to the opportunity. We are all given a chance, an opportunity to work with what we're given. And it says, to each according to his ability. So we're all different when it comes to our ability. So the master is gone. Master is away for a long time. And he returns. So the guy, the servant with five talents, he went and put those five talents to work. And he gained an extra five, gaining a total of 10 talents. And the servant with two talents, he went and put his talents to work. He worked hard. He respected what the master has given him, and he put those to work. He made two more, totaling four talents. But the guy with the one talent, I think he's the star of this parable. He decides to do nothing with it. A lot of us probably could, you know, relate to this guy. I mean, I could. At one point in my life, you know. He decided to do nothing about it. He was bitter about the fact that he wasn't given as much as the other servants. He was bitter about the fact that he only had one. He was bitter about the fact that the master was a hard man and he didn't treat me as good as the other ones. Instead of being grateful he was given an opportunity, he decided to be bitter. And he dug a hole in the ground and he buried his talent. Now the master returns and he's expecting to get the servants, return his talents with an interest. And the guy with the five talents come up and said, "Here, master, you've given me five. I've made five more. This is what is yours. And the master says, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the little. I will set you over much. Come and enter the joy of the master." Same situation with the guy with the two talents. The master is extremely happy with this hard work. Come and enter the joy of the master. You've been faithful. And the guy with the one talent, he complained. He said, "Master, you're a hard man. You're a hard man. I know you reap where you didn't sow. I know you gather where you didn't scatter the seed. So I was afraid and I buried your talent. So here is what belongs to you." What is important here is the master is absolutely no interested. He has no interest in listening to his excuse. He was just expecting an increase. And he said, "You wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant." And he stripped off the talent that he was given. And he gave it to the guy with the 10 talents. And not only that, this lazy servant was cast into the darkness. In Exodus chapter 25 onwards, we can see God commanded Moses to build a tabernacle. Now the tabernacle is a temple where God chose to dwell among the people of Israel. So it's a very complex instruction, a complex plan that God gave Moses. "I want you to build that. And I'm going to dwell among these people of Israel." And in Exodus chapter 35, Verse 30 to 33, it says, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship.'" Here we can see that God gave Bezalel skills and ability to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle is where God dwelled. It's a place where people came to worship him, made sacrifices. But what really interests me is that it says he has filled him with the Spirit of God. Not only was he given the skills and abilities to build this tabernacle, he was also filled with the Spirit of God. We're all given a talent. We're all given abilities, but we're also given the Spirit of God. When we put to work, when we use the talent that we have, it is the Spirit of God doing the work. Think about David. He was a talented fighter. He was a talented musician. He was a talented shepherd. He was a talented king. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, it says, David was watching his father's sheep one day, and a lion came, and he took off one of his sheep. And the word says, David went after that lion, and he struck it. He struck the lion, and he rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when the lion turned on him, it says David seized it by its hair, he struck it and killed it. The Spirit of God was with him. He was a talented fighter, but when he started using his talent, the Spirit of God did the damage. The Spirit of God killed the lion. That 250-kilogram adult male lion, an average human weighs about 70, 80 kilos. How is it possible? It was the Spirit of God in him that killed the lion. Goliath was ready to destroy the whole nation of Israel. But David, a little boy, said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the armies of the living God?" He went out and struck him. It was the Spirit of God killed him. Moses spent his first 40 years in the palace of Pharaoh. He lived like a prince. Then he ran away. He spent the next 40 years in the desert. You know, God trained him. It was all God's training in the palace, in the desert, because he had to go through that training before he was called to lead the people of Israel out of that palace, out of the nation of Egypt. And God appeared to Moses in the bush, in the burning bush. And he asked him to lead the people of Israel from Egypt. But Moses had a big list. Complaints. "I'm not good, God. I'm slow of speech. They won't listen to me. Can you please send somebody else? I don't want to do this because I'm not good." But interesting what God says. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? All Moses had is a shepherd's staff. He said, God said, "Throw it on the ground." Throw it on the ground and turn into a snake. It says Moses ran away from it. And God said, "Pick it up by its tail." And Moses picked it up by its tail. And it turned back into his shepherd's staff. Moses had to put to use what was in his hand for the Spirit of God to work. It wasn't Moses' capability that it turned into a snake. It was the Spirit of God. But he had to do something with what he had. He led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and he comes across the Red Sea, and behind is Pharaoh and the large army. And people started to murmur and complain, and the Lord said, "Raise your staff over the sea and stretch out your hands," and the Red Sea was split. It wasn't Moses doing this, it was the Spirit of God who split the Red Sea. But Moses had to raise his staff. We all got something in our hands, and we have to stretch it out. We have to put to use what's in our hands for the Spirit of God to work. It is the Master's property. It is not ours. When we use what's in our hands, God is glorified. He does the job. You know, I used to be one of those guys. Who would hop around from one church to another. I used to do that a lot when I was in London, actually. I would be in one church one Sunday, 500 people. Oh, that's where growth is. And the next Sunday, somebody tells me, oh, Hillsong, London has 3,000 people. I'd be like, here I come. I was chasing growth. I didn't know what growth meant. God redefined what growth was to me later in life. You know, I wanted to find my purpose in life. I mean, I was brought up in a Christian family, went to church every Sunday, came here when I was 20. I would come and sit over there. But something in me kept telling me, there is more to life than this. You know, I go to work, I work full-time, I see people toiling away all their life, 60, 65, they retire. And I was seeing one of my colleagues die at 67, 2 years after she retired. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not right. There is more to this life than this. I am not going to settle with this. I am sick and tired of my Christian life, this walk with Lord the way it is. I have to find a meaning to this. I have to find that purpose that He has given me, you know. And I go to these churches and I get fascinated by all these big colorful lights and all these massive musical instruments and noise. And you know, I used to ask God, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, I'm not happy still. Even if I'm in a big church, I'm seeing people, something in me is not making me happy. What is it? I felt like God challenged me saying, instead of you being fascinated by all these things, instead of you being fascinated by all these lights and stuff, how about you be still and know that I am God? How about you be still and know that I am the big picture, Josh? I make these things happen. It is my Spirit doing the work. What do you think about these people working away in the church, using their talents? When they use what I've given them, it is my Spirit doing the work. How about you just sit back and realize your character? How about you seek me first? If I can raise children of Abraham out of these stones, I can do wonders where I want. I am the big picture. I said to Lord, okay, well, you have to use me then. You have to use me because I'm not going to church every Sunday and live the world Monday to Saturday. It's either one or the other. If you want me to be useful to you, then you better use me. It's time to say goodbye to the church, or it's time to say hello to the world, either way. Because I was sick and tired. I was disgusted by the fact that I was living the double life. It's one or the other. My life was looking bad. You know, I wanted God to use me. And I decided I was going to fast. I was going to fast and pray. And all I prayed is, God, you loose me or you loose me. And I was arrogant, and I was determined, and I demanded an answer, you know. And the fasting started. There was a lot of issues before the fasting. The enemy tried to stop me from it. I still went ahead. God, you use me or you lose me. Fasted one day, second day, and God started to answer me. He started to ask me questions. What is in your hand, Josh? I said, Lord, I do not know. I have no idea. I was like Moses. I started complaining. God, I got nothing with me. You know, I'm not good at speaking English well. You know, I'm not good at this and that and this and that. What is in your hand, Josh? I said, Lord, I do not know. How about you show me? From the second day, God started using me like you wouldn't believe. God started answering me like you wouldn't believe. He started changing me inside out. He started to mold me like never before. I started seeing dreams like never before. He kept saying, I am the big picture, Josh. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. In the Old Testament, God gave skills to Bezalel, to other skilled people, to build the tabernacle where God dwelled. He gave skills to King Solomon and his men to build the temple where he dwelled. God's presence came down in the tabernacle. His presence came down in the temple built by Solomon. But we are in the New Testament. God does not live in the tabernacle. He does not live in the temple. He lives in us. The Bible says, Paul says, our bodies are the temples of Christ. He lives in us. Now, if God gave people skills to build the temple in the Old Testament where he dwelled, we are all given skills to enlarge that kingdom of God that is in us. We are all part of that one body in Christ. Christ is the head of the church. And we are all part of one body in Christ. So we are hands, we are legs, we are eyes, we are nose. Each one of you has a part to play. Unless we put to use what is in our hands, the kingdom of God cannot be built. When we use our talents and gifts, it's about giving glory to God. It's not for our glory. It's not bringing glory to any gods in the world. It's not us being on the spotlight. It's about you making way to the King of Kings by using our talent. It's about honoring the King of Kings. Made me think of a story about Muhammad Ali, you know. He recently passed away at the age of 74. He was a champion boxer. He realized his talent. He discovered his talent when he was 12 years old. He was playing in a park and somebody stole his bicycle. And he started crying. He went straight to the nearest police station. And the head constable, the head police officer was Joe Martin. And he said to Joe Martin, I want to find that thief and I want to beat him up. And Joe Martin said, well, how about you learn some fighting? How about you learn how to fight before you want to beat somebody up? So Joe Martin was a police officer as well as a boxing trainer. And he said to Muhammad Ali, how about you come and train with me? I will train you. And he went on to become an Olympic gold medalist. He was an iconic boxing champion. But the issue with Muhammad Ali was he was a big mouth. He glorified himself so much. He said, I'm not the greatest. I am the double greatest. He said, I'm the king of the world, and it's hard to be humble when somebody's as great as I am. And he said, I float like a butterfly and I sting like a bee. 1984, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. There's a lot of science people here. You know what Parkinson's disease does. Your hands shake. Your movement is compromised. Your speech is compromised. And he couldn't move like a butterfly anymore. He couldn't sting like a bee anymore. And he later in life, he said, I am just an ordinary man who worked hard to develop the talent I was given. He humbled himself. I want to challenge you today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So I want to challenge you this morning. Whether we like it or not, the Master is coming. One day he's going to split the sky, he's going to ride the clouds, and we all have to stand before him. And he's going to expect an increase from you. And he won't be listening to any of our excuses. We can't say, I worked three jobs to pay $1 million house. God, I didn't get a chance to use your talent. Oh, you wicked and lazy servant. We can't say, God, I had no idea what my talent was, so could you forgive me? You wicked and lazy servant, depart from me. We all have to stand before him and give an account of the talent that he has given us. So the question is, when that happens, are we going to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the master, or are we going to hear, you wicked and lazy servant? God bless you all.
Thank you, Josh. We all challenged? Yeah, we're all gifted. We've got something in our hand. And